Good morning and welcome. The Lord's Prayer, Part 6 and 7, is the title of today's sermon, given by the Reverend Dr. Stephen K. Jurdy in this morning's worship service. Coming to you from Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin. During this holy season of Lent, we invite you to join us in praising God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Through this worship service, the assisting minister is Vicar Joseph Pinzel. The service begins as the pastors and Vicar Pinzel lead the prayers of confession and forgiveness at the baptismal font. Then the pastors and congregation will sing the introit. The organist is Cantor Irene Beathy. The lector is Bill Metter.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father of mercies, and God of all consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may attend to your word, confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
A period of silence is kept for solemn meditation of our sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul.
Forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Holy Church, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament lesson for the fifth Sunday in Lent is written in the 37th chapter of the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will into the land, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I'll do it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Psalm 130.
Out of the depths have I called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication.
Amen.
forgiveness with you. Therefore you shall be feared.
I pray to the Lord, my soul waits for him.
And for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord, for in the Lord there is mercy.
With him there is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The epistle is written in the 8th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciple said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us confess the faith with one heart. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven
the children are now going to the church hall for Sunday school classes. In response to the word of God, the congregation sings the hymn, My Song is Love Unknown, number 661, in the hymnal supplement, With One Voice.
What is the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer? What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. What is the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer? But deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The more you know Jesus, the more you know yourself. You and I, like Martha and Mary at the death of their brother Lazarus, may sometimes think of ourselves as living in a world marked by grief, a world in which there is more death than life, more evil than good. Our belief, our general statement that death and taxes are the two greatest certainties in this life, may actually shape our living more than our faith does. "Don't go inside the tomb," said Martha. "He's sure to smell." The death of her brother was more real to her than the resurrection and the life that stood right in front of her. Jesus had just said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in me shall never die." And yet she said, "Don't go in there. He's going to stink." Well, in the same way, our hearts might say something to us like, "Don't be too generous. Be sure to save some for yourselves." Our fear for scarcity, our fear of death, may lead us not to believe as powerfully as we could the promises of God that he will provide in every circumstance, and that our generosity may overflow like his. Yet the more you know Jesus, the more you know the truth not only about yourselves, but also about the world. "Lazarus, come out." And out came Lazarus, changing everything. Now the world may be filled with grief that Martha and Mary's eyes and heart and soul were filled with life. Jesus had become bigger for them than the reality of their brother's death. He had shown them that the resurrection and the life had come into their life. And by coming into their grief then with his compassion and with the power of his resurrection, he had taught them not only about God, but he had also taught them the truth about the world and about themselves, that they had now inherited the life that is to come. You and I live in a different situation from Martha and Mary. You might say that our situation is even better, because we now live on this side, the far side, of the cross and the resurrection. We live in the age of grace that started when Jesus took his resurrection and his life and carried it down into the place of sinners, the death and the grave of sinners. It is the age of grace that began when Jesus came back to those same sinners and he said, "Peace be with you." The resurrection and the life have now entered your life as the bona fide sinners, friend of sinners, and the savior of the dead in spirit. And he is set to the task of making that life the biggest reality in your life, even bigger than death and taxes. The Lord's Prayer that we have been looking at during this season of Lent is part of that good work of your Lord. The Lord's Prayer is not a religious text to study. It is not a poem simply to memorize or enjoy. The Lord's Prayer is the prayer of your Lord, his actual speech that he has spoken and that he has now given you to speak. As you take those words into your lips, you are encountering the resurrection and the life. You are entering into the conversation of your Savior, and you are meeting him. And the more that you know him in that prayer, the more you know yourselves. God is the Father of Jesus, and now he says to you to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven." There you learn that you are children of God and brothers and sisters of the King of Kings. He teaches you to see yourselves as those children, beloved and known by name. He also teaches you to see that God is building a kingdom, and he invites you to ask for it to be done and built among you, and for God's will to be done in you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You have a citizenship that is not of this world, an even higher citizenship than the citizenship of this country, and there is a higher will than your will to be done. When you and I pray for God to give us this day our daily bread, we are not only learning that God provides, but we are also learning that we depend on his provision, and that the life of the Christian is marked by thanksgiving. We learn that forgiveness, not only the forgiveness we receive, but also the forgiveness we practice, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, mark the life of the Christian. They are the parameters, that mercy and that forgiveness, for who we are and how we live. And now we come to the final two petitions. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What do those two petitions teach you not only about Jesus, but also about you? Well, one thing they teach us, and it's hard to admit sometimes because it sounds sort of dramatic and over the top, but one thing they teach us is that we are under attack. If the devil came after Jesus to tempt him and to put him on the cross, then the devil is sure to come after you for the same reasons, to tempt you and to put you on the cross. In fact, the prayer, deliver us from evil, in the original Greek, and thus also in the original Aramaic, in which Jesus probably spoke it, can also be translated, deliver us from the evil one. And Holy Scripture is filled with encouragement to resist the demonic powers. To know God is to know yourselves engaged in a daily battle. As St. Paul says in Ephesians 6, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers, the powers of this present darkness, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And in that battle, your enemy wants you to sin, not because he cares about you, and not because he cares about sin, not really, but because he wants to dishonor God the Father. That's the whole deal. The devil wants to portray and show the world that in his view, the truth of the world is that it's a joke, that it's corrupted, that creation was not good in the beginning. And in fact, there are people who believe that very thing. Perhaps you've met them. I know I have. People who are so convinced that the world is so bad that if it really was created by a God, then that God must surely be like the devil. There are people who would rather be dead than live in this world as it is. They are so convinced that it is evil. And in that conviction, the devil has won. In that conviction, the devil has convinced someone to dishonor the Father and to not believe that this creation is good. He tempts you in the same way, and he wants to crush you with that conviction. So what did God do? Well, what God did is he took everything beautiful in this creation, everything beautiful and just and true, he took his son and he gave him right over to the devil. He said, go ahead, take the best part of creation, take my beloved son who has become flesh, and destroy it. Turn it into something evil and perverse. And so Jesus found himself on the cross. Finally, the devil had his way. Finally, the devil is going to prove that creation really was bad after all, that it's all just a farce and a joke. But then what did God do? He raised that man back up, and he said, "See, creation is good. See, creation is my work, and I am good, and I am just, and I am beautiful, and I will redeem even the perverse from the grave. Even the one who has borne all the sins of the world, I will raise up from the grave, and I will exalt him to the highest heaven." And so it now is in that Jesus Christ that God has turned the joke around on the devil. And he makes you part of that when he teaches you to pray the Lord's Prayer. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." With that prayer, God is making you his children, soldiers in the army of light, to pray for justice and to pray for beauty, to pray for what is right and good and true, and to defend those things against evil, all with the promise that the battle is certain in Christ, that member of creation who is risen and alive and good and beautiful and true forever. So pray the prayer and annoy the devil. Holy Scripture promises that if you resist him, he will flee from you, which is just another way of saying the devil's not a lion, he's a scaredy cat. One little bit of resistance and he flees. This prayer resists him. It reveals that you have a friend, a father, and a savior who is ready to lead you into goodness and to deliver you from evil. It also says that you are ready to be delivered and to be led. If you pray for something, you're saying you want it. If you want something, you are willing it. To pray for something is also to will it. And so join your Lord in willing what this prayer desires. Will every day that you be delivered from evil, and that you have the power to resist temptation. Think of your life in those terms. Ask yourself when you have to make a decision, what will honor God and his desire for this creation the best? Just asking that question is like fingernails on a chalkboard to the devil, and there's nothing more fun than annoying him. We can't do it on our own, but we are not on our own. Through Jesus, we have a Father who is in heaven, here on earth, helping us. What is the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer? "Lead us not into temptation." What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us, so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. What is the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer? "But deliver us from evil." What does this mean? We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs.
For the Holy Church, that your Holy Spirit may always breathe new life into it, gathering the faithful as the priesthood of all believers, and raising it up to be the living body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all your persecuted servants throughout the world, by the strength of your word, revive their faith and knit them into undying fellowship with Jesus Christ and one another. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the nations of the world, especially our own, fill them with the wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, the knowledge and fear of you, their Lord, and the joy in doing your will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our local communities, especially this one, that we may be lifted out of the darkness and discord of strife, of anger and violence, and be raised by your grace. As we are reconciled to you by your love and mercy, so too may we become ambassadors of your love to one another. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are afflicted by sickness and sorrow or adversity, and those who care for them with skill and compassion, we pray especially for Les, Bill, Hazel, Carol, Rita, Lois, Maggie, Barry, Luann, Lou, Chris, Eunice, Lionel, Rick, Dan, Avery, Dolores, Inez, Sally, Betty, Mary, Barb, Mike, Junior, Johanna, David, Aaron, Evelyn, Jane, and Nancy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the resurrection and the life granted through your Son, Jesus Christ, may the day of his return be hastened, that we, with all the faithful, may rise to meet him in all glory and splendor, and become forever united with you in eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Out of love for God and in order to support the work of the church, the congregation is now placing its offering into the baskets being passed by the ushers. Pastor Jurdy will lead the congregation in the sacrament of Holy Communion, assisted by Vicar Pinsel. Two hymns from the Lutheran Book of Worship will be sung during the distribution. Christ, the Life of All the Living, number 97, and What Wondrous Love Is This, number 385. Today's broadcast is sponsored in memory of Katie and Fritz Bleasy by their family.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, who by your tender love gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. May we, who now receive his body and blood, be filled with the strength to take up our cross and follow him.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. You bid your people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast. Renew our zeal in faith and life and bring us to the fullness of grace that belongs to the children of God. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Please join us at this same time next Sunday morning. The church sanctuary is located at the corner of 6th and Grant Streets in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin. Worship services at Zion Lutheran Church are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. and Saturday evenings at 5:15 p.m. Sunday school for children is held at 9:15 a.m. each Sunday. Adult Bible study is held each Sunday at 11:15 a.m. in the church hall. Midweek Lenten services will be held this Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Soup lunch is held at 11:15 a.m. and soup supper is held at 5 p.m. in the church hall. Zion has been broadcasting on this radio station each Sunday morning for 80 years, and the Wausau Lutheran Hour continues to bring you the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome your financial gifts, which make these broadcasts possible. Our address is Zion Lutheran Church, 709 6th Street, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54403. May our Savior, Jesus Christ, be with you and grant you a joyful and blessed week.
Almighty God, you gave your Son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to receive him always with thanksgiving and to conform our lives to his. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.